Well, good morning, everybody, and happy June. This is the first Saturday AM Live of June 2016. I know, the older we get, the more often we ask the question, where did time go? Yesterday being our last official day of school for this year for our kiddos, it was quite a, let's just say it was a glorious celebration at the administrator's house last night of another year under our belt. And what a great community to be part of when you get to network with people that are educators that are obviously doing what they do, not for the paycheck, but because they love kids. And I think that could be said for most of us in NECN is we love what we do because of why we do it, and that is because we love people. And we love having the opportunity to impact people's lives. And there's a few people that stand out on my mind that, you know, when you hear their story, you immediately say, wow, that's somebody who, man, they were given a second chance. Or, you know, as Jesus said to the woman, you know, caught in adultery, for much is given, much is required. That those of us who have been given a second lot, so to speak, that we've been, you know, saved or literally transformed and given a second chance, we seem to be a little bit more passionate about sharing that experience with others. So, Nina Marie is our guest today, and Nina, I know it's early, it's 7 a.m. on the West Coast. I've been awake for over an hour now. I don't know why I woke up so early, but you, prior to NECN, you kind of had your goals and whatever in life, and then you suffered a derailment, and no pun intended. So take us back to what happened, and you know how you were introduced and what life was like prior to this crazy Japanese company entering your life.
Well, when I was a child growing up, I had sleep deprivation, so I was constantly battling sleep, tossing and turning and putting clothes on before I went to bed and taking them off. And I started off with 8 to 10 blankets and peeling them on and off all night long. I just thought that was the way of life, and everybody did that. And my mom was there all night when she was in. And then, you know, I became an angry child because I wasn't sleeping, and I was nice sometimes, but I felt a class all the time.
When you wanted to be, right?
Well, I was very moody. And it's funny because I see people today that I went to school with that haven't seen me in years, and they say, "You're so nice." and you were so mean in school. And I never really related to two. You know, not sleeping and being mean. And look at these kids today. You know, all the violence and fighting. And, you know, these kids aren't sleeping. You know,
yeah.
People don't relate to two, how important it is that your sleep is the most important thing you do. And when I was first introduced to NECN, I laughed at it. You know, I mean, for 2 years I was laughing at NECN. I'm healthy. You know, here I was. I had a bad back. For 5 years, I had sleep deprivation, my feet burned, I was miserable, but I was healthy. I told my dentist, because he kept shoving it down my throat, you know, I need to take a look at this. And you need madness, and as soon as somebody says, you need something, I get defensive. And I was up against the wall, and I said, I don't need anything. I'm healthy, and I don't need your stuff. And I fought it for 2 years, and then I was going through a lot of stress, you know, trying to move, and my landlords harassing me, you know, that I needed to move because they wanted their son to move to their place. And I paid my rent, you know, why are you trying to kick me out? And so I was under a lot of stress, and then I got to the point that I couldn't shut my brain down, and I went 3 nights with absolutely no sleep. Now, if you think about it, I was already sleep deprived. Now I have no sleep. You know, I can't even shut my brain down. And then I was very upset, and you know, when I was trying to take some sleeping pills and, you know, and trying to drink a little bit of alcohol to shut my brain down. And I was doing anything and everything I could to shut my brain down, and I couldn't do anything. And I got scared, because I know if you don't sleep, you die. And I just kept praying. And my mom was taking care of me. I had to have somebody hold my hand to go to the bathroom and go into the shower.
And how, you know, being around kids all the time, we could expect that of, you know, working with a special needs or physically handicapped child. How old were you at the time, Nina?
I was 37.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, Mom, I'm going to die. And she said, go to the doctors. And I said, no, if I go to the doctors, I will die. I don't know why I kept saying that, because it was like the spirit kept saying, you don't go to the doctors. They'll kill you. Don't go to the doctors. They'll kill you. But what do you do when you're not well?
Yeah.
You trust the doctor. And I was working with, it's funny you were talking about kids, I was working with the kids program from Hands from Heaven. I was volunteering to help kids with careers. And I wasn't able to work. And the guy that was in charge, he came over to see me. And he says, honey, you've got to go to the doctors. And I said, no. And he says, we're praying for you, but you've got to go. And I said, you can die. And I said, I can die if I go. And everybody was trying to get me to go to the doctors, and I just wouldn't do it. And, you know, I just didn't trust the medical people. I mean, I watched what they did to a lot of people, and I just kept praying. I said, I have faith. And then a friend of mine came, and I was adamant that it wasn't going to work, and she brought me the crazy magnetic pad. And she said, you know, you've got to lay on this, Nina, because I've been in discomfort for 3 years, and in 1 week this worked. This changed my life. And I said, that's not going to work. That's not going to work for me. And I knew, because my dentist was pushing me, and I just didn't want it to work. And I didn't want him to be right, because he was pushing me. And I got to tell you, I laid on it. I have to laugh today, because I was laying on it, and they say the placebo. And I said, it's not going to work. 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 I don't know why I was just so stubborn, but the magnets, it just calmed my brain and my body, and I slept for the first time in my life. I thought I died and came back. I was a whole new person. I didn't toss and turn. I didn't have to have a bunch of clothes on. I didn't have to have a bunch of covers. And I laid there, and I woke up in the same spot.
Hmm.
And I said, wow! No, it wasn't the magnet. No, it wasn't the magnet. But I stayed on it. I stayed on it. And then when my dentist came back, because he didn't lend it to me, my girlfriend lent it to her. I mean, he lent it to her, and she lent it to me, and he was going to be gone for a few weeks, and so I had it for 1 week, she had it for 1 week. So I got a little coffee with him, and I said, and I'm not giving it back to you. And I still didn't think it was really going to, that was what really helped me. And he said, well, I need you to bring that to my office. And I said, oh, okay. And I took it off the bed. And for 4 days, I had it downstairs. I wasn't going to take it to him just yet, because if I went back to where I was, I wanted to make sure I had security there.
Mm.
So for 4 nights, I didn't sleep again. And then I started crying, and I said, I can't give it back to you. Can you please just let me keep it until I get a credit card? And then I had borrowed some money from a friend of mine before I got the credit card. And I was able to get it. It changed my life. I mean, I wouldn't be here today.
You know, Nina, and scientifically or physically, we can go 11 days without sleeping. And then, as you said, you know, you will die. And you made it, you know, 3 days into that, 4 days into that, different stretches. And Your story reminds me of a book that I read years ago by Terry Hershey, and it's titled Go Away, Come Closer, and the subtitle is What We Need the Most is What We Fear the Most. And, you know, more often than not, not only do we not want to believe that something like a magnetic sleep system will do for us what it will do, but right behind that, we're all adults, and so we kind of get stubborn. And but what we don't know, could. And that whole fear factor, and I was reminded of this yesterday. Our middle daughter, Emily, had some friends over, and one of them, Jacqueline, made the mistake of asking why were there rocks in our water? Why were there rocks in this tank? And I said, well, you guys just finished a year of environmental science, so you know what pH is. And I said, yeah. I said, what's neutral? And so we had this little dialogue. You know, I did the energy test with them and just sat there and educated them on, water, why drinking pop. And then I looked at them in my final, challenge to them. I said, all three of you were born after the year 2000. So statistically, by the time you guys graduate, just 2 years from now, you guys are now sophomores, so 3 years from now, one of you is going to be a type 2 diabetic. I said, I don't want to scare you, but that's just the stats of our country. And you go to places like, Alabama and Mississippi, West Virginia, certain states, they're even worse. And they were very open to it. There was no closed-mindedness because they'd seen how much energy their bodies had gained by the water. But, again, someone like you being in that condition, you don't, it's kind of like you're afraid of change because you don't know. And how many people out there, how many people are out there like that? They want to change, but they're afraid of something because they don't know what life would be like being well again.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you, that was a few years ago. And you have in turn been able to help and not only humans but animals as well, dozens and dozens of people that you've been able
to. And I love it.
What would you say, looking back on that, and because there are lots of folks out there that, and I know the numbers are increasing at a terrible, terrible rate of people that are given a disability. I call them the blue cripple stickers, so they can park in the specially marked areas and whatnot. But they're given that death sentence, or that, like I like to call it, they're given that prognosis, and they don't know any better. Is there anything out there that you think that we couldn't help?
No. Well, because the body's designed to heal itself when it's provided what it needs. And I took these technologies because when I experienced what I experienced, I didn't believe that this was really, I didn't know what it could do, to tell you the truth. I wanted to experiment. And it's funny because I was the little girl that, when I had a doll that moved around when I was growing up, I took it apart to find out how it worked. So what I did with Neken is I took these technologies to a test because I wasn't interested in the money. I had my own hair salon. I wasn't going to do the business. But I wanted to see, has it worked? Did it really work? And who can it help? So I played for sick people and hurt people. And if you were sick or you were hurt, I was happy. Not happy that you were sick or hurt, but I was happy that I was going to see what I could do to make you better, like I got better. And so when people would say, oh, I don't feel good, oh, good, come to my house. And they'd say, that's not, I said, well, I may have a solution for you. I'm trying some things, and I would like for you to try it with me and see if it can help. And I've had people with dementia, Alzheimer's, cancer, Garrett's, in wheelchairs, dogs that couldn't walk, dogs that got hit by a car, a kid that fell out of a car on the freeway and brain traumatized. I think this little guy that had a bad hit from playing football that had no blood going into it. I just can sit here and tell you story after story after story. And I said, well, and people would come to me, do you think it's going to help? I don't know. I really don't know. But what if we put your body in that environment and your body can do its own healing? The body's amazing. And that's why I got excited, because everybody I worked on, you know, that had a different, different challenge, came out of it. And one lady, a friend of mine, she's a doctor, and she was a veterinarian doctor, and the doctors told her, you know, her family, make funeral arrangements for her because she's not coming out of the hospital alive. She had a disease that nobody lives. Nobody.
Mm.
And I had met a gentleman that had the same disease 5 years before, and I was trying to get him to, once you try this, no, don't interfere with what the doctors are doing. And I said, you're not going to interfere with what the doctors are doing. It's just going to complement what the doctors are doing. Nope. And it was sad because I cried. He's going to die because his body doesn't have a way of getting healthy because it's sick and it doesn't know how to get healthy. And I was crying. I said, please, I'll give you the sleep system to use it in the water at least. And he just said, nope. So he passed away.
Mm.
And he was 250 pounds. He was a 63-year-old man that was young, worked out every day, did everything he was supposed to do. He was going to retire and travel around the world with his wife and got hit, got sick, and the doctor gave him the wrong medicine. And it broke his lungs like a balloon. And they were trying to counteract it. Excuse me. And they couldn't do it. He shriveled up. He was 250 pounds, 260 pounds. And it was sad. He shriveled up to 120 pounds.
Wow.
And he died. And I knew I could help him. I was praying for him. And I kept hearing, get him on the stop. And I said, I can't. Because you have to honor when somebody says no. You know, if they say no, it's because they don't know. It's not because it's no, it's they don't know. What if? And then 5 years later, my veterinarian doctor had the same disease he had. And my client, that her husband has, Suzanne, when she knew that our veterinarian got the same disease as her husband, she said, she's going to die. Everybody dies. There is no cure. There's no treatment. I said, well, we don't do any treatments. We don't cure anybody or diagnose anybody. But what I tell people is get the body healthy. Get the body healthy quickly so it doesn't run down that road and can't turn it around. Because if you get somebody on the technologies when they're first diagnosed with whatever it is, they have that much better chance of building their bodies back up before the disease or illness takes over the bodies. And I explain to people, it's like a bathtub. We're a bathtub. And if the bathtub is full, when you get hit, you have all these resources. But if you're starting off with an empty bathtub, you're trying to fill that bathtub up fast enough before the disease or illness takes over. And sometimes you can't fill it up fast enough.
Mm-hmm. But, that's a great analogy, a great word picture, because we can all understand that, if you're given filled up a bathtub for, yourself or, giving a child a bath, that there's all the different factors that go into it. But again, when we put our body into an environment and we change the environment, I keep finding myself saying that more often than not. I did a quick demonstration yesterday with one of the teachers at the school where my wife works, and she just kept nodding her head, and I said, it's all the greatness is out there. God put all these wonderful, wonderful modalities out there in the earth. We just got to expose our body to them. And, we're standing right in the center of this building, and I said, there's 12, 15 feet of space underneath of us, and a slab of concrete that's 94 years old, and asbestos and all the other chemicals and all the other junk that's in this building. And I said, we got to, if we can get ourselves out of that, it'd be great. But if not, what can we do to bring the good stuff in? And it just, I've never ceased to be amazed at how quickly our bodies will respond, again, if we change that environment with all the different factors. And, you know, Nina, you have seen a lot, and I think that so often those of us maybe who haven't had a profound product experience ourselves, maybe we don't understand the magnitude of what we can do to help people. But I think one of the things that you illuminated here is that, what have we got to lose? Well, death.
Nothing.
That's the end. We're all going to die. That's a given. However, we don't have to accelerate the process by starving our body of the things that our body really wants. And, you know, we've been given these great solutions, these wonderful products. And I look at the summer ahead of us, and I, you know, being that I've got three girls in school, we go through seasons of life based on the school year. And, you know, summer is now officially ahead of us. And I think, how many people can we interact with that, as we're doing life, that are facing some, you know, I've got a gal that I've been dripping on for all months now. She, one of the main cashiers at a store that I like to shop at, and her right arm hangs limp at her side. She had two strokes and two brain aneurysms within a year, year and a half of each other. And I remember the last conversation, I looked at her and I said, Penny, people that suffer from strokes or have suffered from strokes is dear to my heart, because both my grandmothers were in that condition. And I said, so I'm not going to give up on you. And she's very, very stubborn. And I said, so I just, you know, just so you know, I've got your number. And because I know that we can help. Because
what I would ask her is, are you happy with the results that you've gotten from your stroke?
Mm.
You know, and do you want to, you know, stay that way? Because if you're happy, I'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
And if you're not happy, what if? Because I have a lady, and put her on a call with me.
Mm.
I have a lady that had an aneurysm and a stroke, and she was 75% paralyzed. And I made the mistake of, see, we get excited, and we tend to, you know, drool. I mean, we spit up on people, and we do a lot of stuff that, you know, people tend to go, oh, I just don't like it. I just don't want to, you know, listen to it that anymore. This person, we're trying to help, but sometimes we're not speaking their language.
Yeah.
And I had this one lady that, you know, I got so excited, Nancy, I started, you know, spitting on people and just drooling on them and, you know, and just going all over them. And some people said to me, stay away from me until I learned how to share it, you know, because I got excited because I got my life back. I was a whole different person. And I wanted to share it with the world because I had taken all these technologies to a test, and I watched it. I watched people in 40 minutes transform. And I would say to somebody, hey, if you could just feel a little bit better when I'm working on you right now, could you imagine feeling a little bit better every day? And compound that, what's going to happen down the road? You're going to feel a lot better by feeling a little bit better every day. And how would you like to feel a little bit better every day? And then,
yeah,
then people would say, okay, because I had one lady, she didn't want to hear what I had to say because I just drooled on her. You know, and I had to do this, and she finally just said to me, what was the worst, I mean, the best thing that she could have said to me is, shut the F up.
Oh, wow.
And I did. And right then I realized that I was talking too much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to share it. Because a lot of us want to share it, but we don't know how to speak that person's language. And when you get to know somebody and get to know how you speak their language, and then they'll understand your language. But if you're doing a lot of talking and not the right kind of language, because if you're saying stuff to her that she doesn't understand, she's not going to come on board and say, well, yeah, well, you know, if I could show you a way to feel a little bit better, would you be open to looking at something that you haven't done?
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what is that? And I started really trying to get people to let me try the different things on them by just asking them, look, I'm doing my own little survey because I know these crazy madness, you know. Everybody thinks this is crazy, and I feel I'm with you on that, but I want to see if it really does make a difference. Can I try some things on you just to see if it really helps you at all, and then you can give me your report back? Because I'm doing my own demonstration because I've been hearing a lot of people having experiences with these technologies, but I want to have my own experiences. Would you help me out with this? And then people were more open. You know, instead of me saying, you know, oh, well, you, this will help you, you know, what about this? I didn't make it about me. I made it about them helping me with this study that I'm doing on my own.
And I think it's in people's nature to always want to help somebody.
Right.
And if we present, if what you're doing is we're presenting the fact that we're the ones with the need, you know,
right.
We're, you know, not necessarily begging for a favor, but we're or needy. We're simply saying, "Hey, can you help me out?" And,
yeah.
And why wouldn't they? And they got nothing to lose. A couple of days ago, I handed my hairdresser a pair of the M strides, and she was with a client when I walked into the salon. And I just sat down, and I can work from anywhere. So I just sat there and waited till she was done, and as the customer was paying and on his way out the door, I just walked up and I said, hey, Jenny, here's those insoles that we talked about a few days ago. I want you to check them out and, you know, give me some feedback. And I said, here's some information, you know, on what magnets will do for the body. And she immediately remembered our conversation. She said, oh, yeah, my arms. I remember I told you I have a tough time keeping them up, you know, throughout the day. And I said, so let's just have some fun. And I said, you know, and I showed her how to use them with the particular shoes she was wearing, the flip-flops. And I said, just got a little slit on the side and, you know, kind of slide them in sideways and see what happens. And she looked at me with these big brown eyes, and it was amazing because she just looked up from the desk there and said, thank you. I said, oh, you're welcome. I said, I'll touch base with you next week sometime. And I thought, you know, we're offering people a gift. That's all we're doing.
Yes.
And it's their choice what to do with that gift. And I love the fact that, you know, and I as you're sharing this, I'm thinking, may this become a summer of sharing. That's my challenge to myself. May this become a summer of sharing and finding out what people are truly, rather than a summer of shouting at people saying, hey,
right.
We've got the answer. Because we
know.
We've seen literally thousands and thousands of people's lives completely transform, some minor and some major ways. But maybe this could be a summer of sharing with people and saying, hey, have you thought about this? You know, and I love that fact of, you know, what would life be like if we're just a little bit better? You know?
Right.
You know, teaching our teenagers, or in my case, allowing our six-year-old to sit on my lap as we drive from the barn up to the house and showing her up the paved driveway, you know, it's small corrections, kiddo. Come on, no, just a little bit. No, get off the grass, get back on the pavement,
right.
You know.
Right.
But those small corrections, and what would life be like if we can offer people, you know, some small corrections? So, Nina, go ahead.
I want to add one more thing to it, because it also, I've worked with people that, they say the 5% that is passing, it is very beneficial for people that are passing at the end of their lives. And I have worked with a couple of people that have passed. And one guy fired hospice.
Mm.
And I don't know if I ever shared that one, but it was a pastor that he was not coherent, didn't know his family. He had 2 to 3 days left. Another situation where the doctors gave him the wrong medicine. and they had pumped him up with different drugs for 8-9 months. He'd been in bed, couldn't walk or anything, and didn't know his family. And they were trying very hard to turn his life around, but they couldn't turn his life around, so they gave him 2 to 3 days left and had hospice coming in, and the daughter wanted to change that. And from meeting somebody else, a school teacher, the daughter contacted the school teacher and asked her if she had anything that could help her father. And then I contacted our doctor's panel to see what I needed to do. But a long story short, I was able to get this guy 4 months. And he knew who his family was. He came out of he was incoherent, not coherent at all. And he came out of it, knew who his family was, his wife and his daughter. Fired hospice. It was so funny because he wanted to meet who we were, the ones that helped him. To get his body stronger. And he got 4 more months, and he had the best day. The last day was the best day of his life. He got to go spend the day with his daughter and his wife, and he went to Pier 39 and walked all around, and that's all he talked about, the best day of his life, and came home. And when he went to bed, his wife said he had the biggest smile on his face. And when she woke up, he still had the biggest smile on his face, but he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't just help people stay healthy. We help people when it's time to go home, pass on peacefully.
Yeah. So. I love that. Pass on peacefully. You know, and again, we're all going to die. That's a gift.
Absolutely.
But what if, you know, what can we do to change the quality of life to utilize?
That's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, for those of us who got on the call late, Nina Marie Alves has been our guest. Did I pronounce that right? Is it Alves? Has been our guest this morning from San Francisco, California. And Nina, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I love your passion. I love your, because Nina, for those of you who've not tuned in on Wednesday mornings on the Nikan Live testimony call that I get to host, Nina has shared several stories, and we're going to do a call. Actually, I got to set this up with you and Elaine Connolly, who's a registered nurse, because between the two of you guys. Or you ladies have, I mean, just so many endless stories of animals that are, dumbfounding to think that, oh man, is that's really possible? Yes, it is. So I've got to remember that to set that up. But thank you for giving us your time this morning and sharing your life with us, because I know there's people out there that you've reminded us to get out there and share Nikan with. Because it's never too late. But again, we have to remember to share, not to sell, not to shout, but simply to share.
And speak their language.
Exactly. Find out what you're saying. Yeah. Exactly.
Speak their language.
So thank you again so much, and look forward to having Nina back again very soon, sometime this summer. And until then, everybody, have a great weekend. I'm going to sign off the call and open it up the line for a little bit of Q&A. But thanks again, everybody. We'll talk to you real soon.